Okay. Before we go into Titus, let's turn to Isaiah 40. Yeah. Just a little encouragement, I hope. You know, some Sundays I go home and I don't feel like I've been real encouraging. I don't feel like I've been real like an exhorter. I know everybody probably is our own worst judge, but tired too. Anybody feeling tired lately? I mean, yeah. And I don't want to focus on that, but I think it's a problem that's common to the human body, that when we exert, we get tired. When things befall us, we get tired. And this week, and especially this morning, I won't name any names, but everyone I spoke to, in a sense, told me that they were tired today. And I'm tired today, so I'm joining in with you. I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm just flat tired. And I don't know what that is, if it's a natural cause to our ages and what we put out during the course of the day, if it's just a spiritual oppression mixed and mingled with what we're going through. But during worship, make me like you. Guys, thank you again for a well-chosen song from the Lord. I feel he led me during that time again to Isaiah 40, and I hope it encourages you, because if it doesn't, I don't think there's much. You know, there's no pills that we can take that are going to make us, I don't think so yet, Doc, have they? Nothing that you just pop and just feel like you're 20 again and go for another, no, it's not there. If you're in Isaiah 40, here's what will get us going. In verse 21, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" What a question. You know, so instead of, I'm beat, I'm tired, I think the Lord is saying, wait, get your eyes on me. Remember that old song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." We try, eating something, drinking something, looking for the pills, sit on the couch and watch TV, and you go to bed just as tired as you were when you first sat down. And I think God is saying, get your eyes on me right now. We're in a time frame where there isn't any other hope. There isn't any other solid ground. "It's he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in, that brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble." God's got this. Whatever's getting us weary, God's got it. "To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes," verse 26, "on high." That, I think, there's our remedy. You know, it's not going to make everything go away. You know, Teddy, you have to still go through surgery probably, and all the ailments that we have. But why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaks, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? He knows, and he cares, and he wants to get involved. But, you know, we've got to sit with him too. Listen to him. Apply what we hear him saying. Hold fast to it, even though it doesn't look like that's what it should be. Have you not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord and creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is he weary? And that was my, I'm tired. And I even told Pat last night, I said, I think I'm going to call Craig this morning. And she said, why? And I said, because I'm so tired. Let him preach. I'm just not even going to go. You know,
I was going to call you.
I would have said I'm busy already. So, yeah, it's just, but God is not weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. That's us. You want to get strong? You want to please God in a way? We're all trying that to a degree. Don't faint. Don't give up and don't buy that lie from the enemy that I'm just so shot I can't move anymore. You know, there are people without legs. There are people that can't move that wish they were probably as tired and as hurting as you and I are today. He gives power to us. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths will faint. Hear that, guys? No one's exempt from this today. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Stop running so much, Doug. Maybe take a little walk with God today. Maybe he'll renew some strength. Maybe we won't faint. Maybe we won't crush under the burden that all of us are carrying one way or the other. So let's turn to Titus. I hope that encourages you and gives you something today to go on one more step before you put the other one in front of it. But we're in Titus, and as you turn into Titus, we'll be in chapter 2. We're going to pick up on verse 12 probably, but 11. Remember, we had all of these patterns that God was showing for churches, not only for its leadership, but for the individuals, the men, the women, the young men, the young women. He was showing us what he expected, if you allow me to use that word, from his children, God's desires, let's put that, on our consistent behavior as his children. We saw that it just didn't end there. It wasn't just trying to work this out. Like I said last week, I had mentioned about work out your own salvation out of Philippians 2 with fear and trembling. But you know, it's God who works in us to desire and to do it. So he doesn't leave us on his own. There's a huge, you know, just divine sovereignty. Nobody can touch what he can do. You can't even recreate it. But there's a human responsibility that he expects us to go along with him as he's giving us these strengths, as he's increasing us, as he's bringing us into his likeness and image. So we're not alone. And if we're in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, the power thereof, to do and to will and to perform some of these things that God is asking of us. We can't really say, I can't do that. Sometimes I feel like what I should say is, I don't want to do that. It's easier to go this route. And I don't think the Lord ever told us that there was going to be an easy road to eternal life. And if we look at him on the Via Dolorosa, it was not an easy walk for the life that he had left. It was a struggle. It was effort. It was a mindset, if you would, you know, and I'm not saying that like, you know, I can talk. It's a mindset, what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. And that's what Paul is trying to get to Titus as he instructs the people in Crete that he was put in charge of, as he was instructing Titus himself, as Paul lived. Wasn't like, you know, my dad, he used to say a lot of things, and basically what it was do as I say, not as I do. But see, God did it all, didn't he? And he left a perfect example. He left a pattern for you. We saw him do it. We see Paul doing it. Just a man, not Jesus. Okay, so we can say, well, Jesus was God. But he was every bit man as he was every bit God. Paul could do this. He, in a sense, knew, not that he expected it, that his little charge, you know, Timothy, Ty, all these people, he didn't expect them because he was saying it. He was expecting because God said you can do this. This is what we've been left in charge with. And I feel that's for each and every one of us, not just leadership, but to live on what we're about to hear. This is our strength. This is what's going to move us through whatever today brings to tomorrow. And I fear, even for myself, I haven't lost it, but I'm not looking for the Lord as much as I used to in a serious, you know, when we get frustrated, oh, come on, come back today, Lord, you're missing a perfect opportunity. No, I mean really, really looking forward to the Lord, not only to be with Teddy and Dee, or you name the person you've lost, but I want to be with him. That's Craig and I were praying this morning. Can you imagine when you look into his face? I mean, eye to eye? Face to face? Is that a desire? Is that something I want more than anything? And it's a question we have to leave to each of us. And Paul, again, like I said, he tells us, this is what we should be doing. We've got this strength, this grace that redeems us, this grace that restores and reforms us, this grace that rewards us, this grace that we live in right now as we, that's grace, God's heir. How did he make that? What did he have? That you and I can breathe it in. I mean, if nothing more, what else would we need than our very next breath? Do you ever think of that? Well, I need a new car because mine isn't running, and I need this addition finished, and I need my dams over at the lake where all my fish to stop breaking out because of the water. You know, we think we have all of this stuff. But did we ever think, I need my next breath? See, we just receive that. It's just, you know, it's normal. But that's God's grace. He's going to keep them going in and out, until that day he says, come on home. And then that's going to be the air we breathe. I think it's going to be something that we haven't ever even thought about, as it's how beautiful that's going to be. And that's what he's saying to Titus in verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And we're going to look into this grace a little bit more. And, you know, grace is past, present, and future. It's not just this one-time experience. Or, yes, I felt God's grace at one time in my life, but it's left. Well, I wonder who really left. If we're not feeling God, if we're not feeling his grace, if we're not feeling his embrace, who's backing off, Doug? Who's stepping back because of some other worldly care? Instead of realizing this is not my home, I'm going somewhere else. And Paul's saying, because, you know, all these things that I've told you this far, Titus, he said, because we can do this for, you know, that word jumps out after all these other instructions, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, anthropos in the Greek, every men, women, children. It's not elitist. It's not anybody being left out for whatever it might be. He covered the world with this grace. Wow. So now he's going to show us another inroad to this grace. Grace not only saves us. That would be something, right? If it just saved us and put us off on the side as some little memorials that people could look at. This grace keeps on giving. It just keeps on working until the day we go home, and we'll be standing fully in that grace. This grace, like I said, is past when you were saved. It's present while he is still saving us from whatever it might be. And the future grace is that we will live with him eternally. This grace not only saves, remember that now, it doesn't end there, but this grace also teaches us. Craig reminded me last week that Diane's dad, when he came here many, many years ago, gave a sermon that grace teaches. And I'd like, if we could, to dig that out somewhere. I don't know, was that on cassette tapes at that time? Were we still singing to an AM, FM radio at that time? I don't know. But grace not only saves, grace teaches. And that's what we're going to see today. And with that grace, I mean, does anybody here think you could have saved yourself without God's grace? The answer is probably no. Maybe somebody, if you, we'll talk about that later. God's grace saves us. We believe that. Saves me fully, right? Not partially. Saves me eternally. Not just a little bit here. It saves me. So I hope that I can get myself, maybe you will join in, to realize that grace teaches me. Every single day, it teaches just as much as it saved me, it can teach or instruct. And some of us who went to high school maybe didn't listen so much to our teachers, did we? Some of us did, and we progressed in education and position. If some of us didn't listen to instruction at that time, we kind of knew it all. We thought the teacher didn't know as much as we did, or it was more fun to do something else. Let's not make that same mistake with our Lord and Savior and with His Word, because we are in His classroom right now. This is like a boot camp. This is a training experience that He's putting us through to see what we're really made of, to see in our own hearts, my gosh, what? That wasn't me. How come I did that? Well, it was God's grace, and we've learned something. Something took root in us. And that's what He's going to tell us in verse 12. So, Father God, help us to have open ears today. Father, none of this pushes us towards perfection. It just pushes us towards being more like You, Lord. Seeing that pattern, that example You left for us. Seeing that we can do some of the things that we don't want to do and how necessary they probably really are in our life and the life of those that we have to do with every day. So open Your Word to us by Your Spirit today. In Jesus' name. Verse 12 says, teaching us, so there's that grace again, teaching us that denying I'm going to read the whole thing. We're probably not going to get past verse 12, but teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly someday. No, he says, in this present world, right now. Right this minute, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise you. Paul talking to Titus, but the Holy Spirit speaking to you, no matter what age, to us. Don't let anybody despise you for what you believe. Don't let anybody despise you or think, all these. Don't let it just shed off. We've told that they're not going to think we're the greatest thing since running water or sliced bread. But don't let any man, as he's saying, don't let any man despise you. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Just in truth, let's throw out this word. And in truth, let us live it in our own lives the way that God has provided for each one of us with our giftings and our talents and our abilities. We all don't have to be the same. We're just going to worship. We're going to present. We're going to manifest Jesus from these days forward as best we possibly and humanly can. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we've said this for a few weeks. You know, this salvation is wonderful, isn't it? It's a full salvation. It's not just God saves us and then we're off there running on our own. He not only saves us and places us in His righteousness and gives us that guaranteed place in eternity, but during this present world that we have to walk through, He provides the way for you and I to overcome the things that overcome us. A way that we can live daily with hope, and a day that we can live knowing this isn't the end. This is just, I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm walking through here. I'm on my way home. So this grace is trying to teach us that. It's trying to take us just from salvation and bring us into this sanctification, which one day will be perfection, which one day will be we won't even have to think about trying to do something. It's going to happen. Teaching us that denying ungodliness. We were watching something and it was, unfortunately, they were on Maui. They were suffering in Maui. But this guy's home got hit by a lava flow. And as the Rainies. Anybody watch Homestead Rescue? That's what it was. Well, anyhow, this one, he's walking along, and all this lava just took his house away. And Rainey, who's from Alaska, he walks over to go by this place, and the guy just goes, ah! And he looked at him, and he said, ah! That's what we say, don't touch. They'll cut you up. Like that. So God does tell us some certain things. Denying, it says. Yeah, God's going, No way, Doug. But, you know, maybe what he's telling me, no, he's telling JJ, that's okay. You're good there. Or, you know, for you, Craig. No, you know. This grace teaches. And we are to deny ourselves, isn't it? Something. When we hear that from, this is God who wants my joy to be full. Well, sometimes we do things that maybe ruin our joy. And he's saying, I want you to deny that just for a little bit. And he wants us to deny ungodliness. And I started thinking, okay, ungodliness, what exactly gets into that line of what's ungodly? And it's as simple as anything that is not pertaining to God's nature or image. That's ungodliness. It's the opposite of who God is. Worldly lusts also. So anything that's ungodly. WWJD, remember? That old, what would Jesus do? So how do I deny ungodliness in my life? Well, when I'm doing it, if all of a sudden I just thought, well, the Lord is sitting right next to me here, or standing right next to me here, or walking down the road, would I still do this? Would it be beneficial? Would I be having the freedom to do that? If I can say no in my own heart, then it's probably ungodly. Stay away from it. What would Jesus do? Very simple. And I think the ungodliness, to a degree, it's different for each and every one of us. There are some things that are patternly the same. That's a no-no. That's a uh-uh. Don't go near that. Don't touch. Stay away from that. But then there's other things that maybe for you, you have that liberty. Maybe for you, it's might not be beneficial, but it's not going to hurt. And he talks and he puts in, you know, so that's easy, and that's, you know, we can kind of see that. But it's the worldly lusts that I think sneak up, creep in over a course of time that we don't realize that these worldly lusts have entered the realm of ungodliness in my life. That these worldly lusts that I think, well, you know, this is just normal. I'm tired. I'm whatever, you know, put the words in there. Why did he put, I mean, it should have been cut and dry. Stay away from all ungodliness. But he said, stay away, say no worldly lusts, you know. And I thought about worldly lusts. And they go beyond our favorites, don't they? You know, we all have a favorite worldly lust, and some of them are okay. Tommy, fishing. Say anything bad about fish? Well, the only thing bad about that is when you don't catch them, right? We all have our own little favorite worldly lust. We as Christians have our most favorite smoking, drinking, cursing, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's what we focus on. And we say that that's going to kill you. That's going to move you away from the Lord. But what about wealth? Chasing it. Workaholic. Don't have enough money. Can't give anybody. I can't give that kind of money. What am I going to do when I get to be 75? How do you know you're going to make it to 75? Use what God has given us. So there's a worldly lust in there. That desire for wealth. That desire to pack around me enough that I feel like I'm secure now. What is secure anymore? There's nothing wrong with planning ahead. There's nothing wrong with investing and saving. I'm not saying that. But if we depend upon that for our daily being, we have stepped out of that realm. And God's trying to tell us, I want you to just say no to that one worldly lust. Power is another one. Our name on a door. Power over another individual, maybe. Power over husband, wife. Power takes on a whole other face as worldly lust, doesn't it? Pleasure. I don't have time for that. I'm going hiking. I don't have time for that. I'm going boating. I don't have time for that. I'm going four-wheeling. I don't have time for that. I've got something going on with this girl that, you know, this guy. Pleasure. Love is of pleasure more than love is of God is what he says. It's a worldly lust. Do we think about that every day? No, we spot that person, something hanging out of his lip, cussing up a storm, doing so. We point at that. But do we point at any of these anymore or realize them in my own life? How about me, just me? Is that a worldly lust? I'm learning, and now I'm seeing it backed up. That's where you learned it. Pat always said, it's not about you, Doug. It's not always about you. I keep asking, when's it going to be about me then? Can I have tomorrow, you know? Me, just me, my happiness, my pleasure, my time to be. I want, leave me alone. Don't you understand how busy I've been? Don't you understand what I've got to do still? I mean, me, it's all me. Myopic, we got an eye problem. It's just me, me, me. Gossip. Gossip is a worldly lust, isn't it? Can't wait to hear it. Oh, man, are you kidding? Did he really do that? Turn on some of your news stations and even the ones I like. It's almost like today I saw for the first, this is a dang gossip column is all it is. And it feels good when you hear something about somebody you don't like. Gossip is terrible. And it's one of those worldly lusts that God is saying, stay away from it. Don't say it. I think there's three, I'm not sure about this. Lauren is more of a, what word can I use? A guy. When we're going to say something, you know, like gossip, the first thing that any human should ask himself is, should I be saying this? Should I really be saying this? It's just a question to ask myself. Will it benefit anybody right now if I say this or not? And should I really say this even if? What would happen if I didn't? What would happen if I didn't? Gossip is a worldly lust that God is saying, stop it. You ever notice with gossip, I can tell you details about 40 years ago. Little things. But for some reason, we can't remember how many times we told them to you, too. And we keep telling you about it. And you listen, you tell her about it. And, you know, we can remember all those details, but we don't remember who we told them to. We don't remember how long ago, how often I do it. Gossip is a terrible thing. And it's one of the seven things that the Lord hates. If you have time this week, look into Proverbs 16, I think it is, isn't it? The Lord hates these. There's six things the Lord hates. Yay, seven. And one of them is it's a lying tongue. It's a tongue that and feet that are quick to spread mischief. Gossip is no good. So I'm not saying maybe you better start smoking and drinking and running around instead of. But look at the worldly lusts that encompass us every day, and we just pass them up. And one of the bigger ones is unforgiveness, is a worldly lust. I'll never forgive that individual. You don't understand what he or she said to me. You don't understand how much it hurt. I might not, but God does. Amen. And ungodliness is, that's one thing, but these worldly lusts are just as bad, and I feel that's why he incorporated them together. Mark 4. Let's put something in there and turn to Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 19. You know, do you ever read God's word and then wonder, why did he put such things together that one looks really bad, ungodliness, but then he throws in something else down here that doesn't seem as bad, but it's in there with it. And a lot of times I see the Holy Spirit put something in there that we don't consider really bad. He puts it in there last, and I wonder, is that because that's really, really important? Be careful for these things. And in Mark 4:19, we're talking about worldly lust that we're supposed to say no to. We're supposed to deny them. It says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things. Isn't that wild? He doesn't go into any great detail, but he's showing us that this worldly lust, we're supposed to learn through his grace how and when to deny them. And the lusts of other things entering in. See, they might come. They're going to come no matter what. Dee keeps trying to slide off the page. Ma, look at her beautiful smile. She's coming right here, right down. The lusts of other things entering in. Somehow, some way, we're supposed to have this breastplate, this armor of God on, that these things won't take their root in our life. They're going to come. You'll turn around and some temptation is going to be there. You'll walk over there and there'll be another one. But it's when we allow them to enter in that I think God is saying, now you've got to say no. What happens when these things enter in? Chokes God's word. For some reason, my opinion and my idea overrides what God says to do. Now, he just told me to deny him, but I'm saying, well, you know, maybe next month. No, he's not saying next month. He said, when they're in, they're going to choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We don't lose our salvation. I hope you hear that very first and foremost. We don't lose our salvation, but we don't produce good fruit when we're in ungodliness, when we're engaging in worldly lust, as simple as they must see. The fruit that God wants to produce from every one of our lives then is stunted to a degree. It's one of those trees, maybe, you know, that just should have been bearing fruit and it's not. Maybe that's the answer to some of our situations today. Why am I unfruitful? Why is it not going the way I've always thought or prayed or... Well, I don't know. Seek God's face. Seek his word. See what's happening there. And even if we are unfruitful, I know enough care and God's word would be the ingredients. We can change these things today. Even if we've squandered for 20 years, 30 years, we can change. The decision is ours. Alice came over and helped Pat and Jen plant like 300 flowers yesterday all over the ranch. But Alice said, oh, look at this. What was that one? I call them cone flowers.
The delphiniums.
These need water. And they were all laying on the ground like this. The one, you know, they're these big cone things. Well, all of them were laying their heads in the dirt. And Alice watered them. We came by about 40 minutes later, and everybody was standing up like this. Weren't they just beautiful? We can do that in our lives. It's not too late, as long as we listen to what the Lord is telling us. So keep that one in your arsenal. Oh, that Beezer, she's jumping off the page today, my baby. Amen. So he's telling us, here's the stuff that you got to stay away from. Okay, so what should I do now? And many of us did that one. Remember when you first got saved? Well, what am I going to do now? I can't go to the PI anymore. I can't go doing this anymore. I can't do, what am I going to do? God doesn't leave us helpless and hopeless and clueless. He tells us what to do after we try putting these things. Just say no. Just say no. Like Nike says, just do it. Just do it. Say no. And see what happens. And you might have to say no a couple of, like Craig and I, years and years, you've heard this. We said that the Word of God says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we thought, well, so here's this stuff. If we just stop and we turn around and say, Jesus, Bugface has got to stop. He's got to stop. Because I'm going to get saved either eternally or in that present moment. So just say no. Just say no to that stuff. And then in the interim, what do I do now? Well, this grace teaches us that you and I should live soberly. That means clear-mindedly, thinking. And I said this, and I can't say it enough. It is time for all of us to get involved in some serious, critical thinking for ourselves. Not what some talking heads are telling us, not what somebody out there in the town or your workplace is telling you, but the Lord is saying, and that's not just sober, not drinking, he's talking clear-minded. Think critically, what is at stake here? What is going on? When we see this happening in front of us, I can guarantee you when you go into critical thinking mode, you're going to find it's something over here. It's not this right here. It's already well beyond that. So I'm to think soberly, clear-mindedly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Again, now. Now is the time of our salvation, the word says. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. If we don't start it now, when are we going to do it? When? And how many times has the wives asked you guys, major, we are experts at procrastination. That's one thing we're good at. But how many times have your wife said, when are you going to fix that door? When are you going to put a new screen door on there? When are you going to pick up your socks? When are you? Today, right now, in this present moment, because that's all that I have. But he talks about that we should live clear-mindedly and righteously. The Word of God says that there are none righteous, no, not one. And this is where I feel we say, well, I don't have the strength to do what God is asking me. Do I have time to go? I don't have time to go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Practical behavior in this present world is what I'd say is required for each one of God's children. As we started, it's going to look different. It's going to seem different in each one of our lives, but this is what we're aiming at. This is what we're trying to attain, and that is practical behavior right now, while we're living, while people are all around us, watching us, and this is done through grace and grace only. You know what I'm going to do? You asked for it. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, verse 1, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What are we being called to be? Children of God. Not just that I caretake a ranch and I preach and you're a jeweler and, you know, we all put our labels on there. That's one of them, and walk worthy in that job that God has provided, but walk worthy of this calling called salvation, that I live and stand in grace. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Remember, like I said, that person that runs us up the wall and we can't stand their voice, God is passionately and madly in love with that person and died for them. Whew, that's avoiding a worldly lust right there in itself. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I pray he is in you today if you haven't made that decision. For some reason you're waiting, you need beyond anything else to ask Christ into our lives, to give us this hope, to give us this grace we're hearing about. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended on high and he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, that he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all things, that he might fill all things. I'd have the ladies, would you like to, you just studied this. Maybe you could give us a very good rendition of that. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For when till we all come into the unity of faith? There's that word all again. That's the purpose of God's word, and it's not to leave somebody behind in this quest. We just pick up and carry on, if we have to, the other person, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, there's a lot of contextual stuff that's behind this, but this right here is our denying the ungodliness and the worldly lusts, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is not just self-growth that we're talking about in grace and denying worldly lusts and ungodliness. This is bodily growth, the body of Christ growing together into one. Can I keep going? This is, have you ever just listened to what God is saying? Forget about what Doug is saying. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity or the pride. And there's one of those worldly lusts, pride, the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I think I'm going to preach on Ephesians starting next week. Who being past feeling. You get to that point, don't you, where you used to care, but things have changed. You used to care, but not anymore. All of a sudden, the heart gets hard, a husk goes back around it, and it's the hardness of my heart. It's not God. It's not anybody else around me. I've gone past feeling that it should bother me anymore, or I should have compassion like I used to at one point. And then we give ourselves over unto lasciviousness. Lasciviousness. What do you got in yours, Mom?
Sensuality.
Anybody else? That's some of that ungodliness that we were talking about. To work all uncleanliness and greediness, but you have not so learn Christ. Wow, he's talking to us. We haven't learned him that way. I hope and pray we haven't learned that here at Calvary Chapel or anywhere else. If so be that you have heard him. Now, I want you to see this. If so be that ye have heard him. Is that what it says in yours? It doesn't say heard of him. Okay, come to know him. It doesn't say heard of him. It says that you heard him. And I think every one of us, to one degree or another, at one point in our life, know, I heard God. I heard God on that. I heard God that I got to get saved. I heard God to give that individual $10. I heard that I'm supposed to go over and visit somebody. We have heard him, not of him and these great things that he, but I've heard him. Speak to me. And I would ask, we need to pray in this time that we hear him again. We all know of him. We all know about him. We know where some chapters and verse are by heart, but we need to hear him again and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So how do we live this verse 12? How do we do that in this present world? How do we do that on a day-to-day basis? And I feel it's right there. That you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt, according to its deceitful lust. Say as those words, what I want, me, not anybody else first, but me. Put it off. It's like when I get home from work, I don't go out and fix the beaver dams in this because she won't let me. Get that shirt off. I go out to do the barbecue in this right now, you know. And then it looks like I got machine gunned with grease. But we put it off. Men, if you've ever been under a car, undo the oil plug in the oil pan, and you didn't get it off fast enough to go in, and it gets all, what'd you do? Did you leave it on? So, oh, that feels pretty nice. And you ripped it off. You got it off of you. It was something that I don't want this on me. It's not going to be good for my body or my skin. And that's what God is saying here, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2, don't be conformed to this world, but rather be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to prove and show that perfect will of God. It's a renewal of my mind, not just my, I'm tired. Remember we started there? Well, I tried last week, maybe if I just pump some weights, my arms will get back to where they were and I'll feel better. I felt worse than anything. I could pick up about half of what I used to be able to do. That isn't going to do it. I'm wearying in my mind. I want my body to go along like Caleb said, give me that mountain, I'm well able to take it. 85-year-old man said, I'm tired. I walked all this way. Somebody carry me. God is saying he'll renew us. That you put on. So now I'm getting my clean shirt on, or when I go out to work, I put on this other thing that Pat says it's okay. But I put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Remember he said that we were supposed to live in righteousness in this world. But see, in me, there's no good thing. But the word of God also tells me that he who knew no sin was made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. So I can live this life that we just read about. Put it off, put it on. Wherefore, putting away, verse 25, here's some of those worldly lusts. Lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. We can be angry. There's a part there. Be angry. Okay, I'm mad at sin. How come we haven't sang that one in 20 years, probably? He didn't hear me. How come we didn't sing mad at sin? Be angry. Yeah, you know, it's an emotion that God put in us. But boy, when we take it over the line, worldly lust, that's going to be unfruitful in our life. So be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And that's what we do in this anger and unforgiveness. Let him that steals, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Here's some of those worldly lusts that I was trying to get at, that God is saying, say no to them. They're killing your fruit. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace unto the hearers. Should I say this right now? Is it beneficial right now? Will it matter if I don't say it? Just hold it back. Say no. I'm not. And how many of you know? I think you had one word, but not right? It was like you tell your children, no, don't do that because it was hurtful, and that's what God is saying here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And not only those things, but let all bitterness. Are you bitter about anything? Get it out of you. It's choking the fruit. We just heard that in Mark 4:19. These cares of the world, they choke God's word. Let all bitterness, that's an inward feeling. Sometimes you can't even see that bitterness, and some of us have learned enough to put on a smile while we're saying something else in here. It's an inward feeling. It's an inward emotion. But we also know that the Word of God says if a root of bitterness is allowed to grow, it will spring up and defile many. It comes out of our mouths saying no to worldly lusts, going back to that. Put away bitterness. Wrath, anger, and clamor. I love that word in the Greek. It's the squawking of crows. You ever hear? They're annoying, aren't they? We had like 100, remember? Fly into the ranch and land on the corral. They were on every one of the posts. And the noise was deafening of them just crowing away, squawking. And evil speaking. Put it away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Amen. Why should I look at grace as something that not only saved me, redeemed me, reformed me, one day will give me the greatest life that anyone could ever imagine, Why should I not look at that same grace as something that if I put my heart to it, I'll be able to say no to some of the things that you know in your life. You don't like them. You're not happy with them. You want to change. Grace will do it. You might not be able to. I might not be able to. You might not be able to forgive somebody. I understand that. I don't know why, but I understand that. But God can, and His grace can, and He overcame everything in Doug Gibney's life, and He forgave me, and He loved me, and He's bringing me to a whole new realm. I'm nobody special. Grace. Let it teach you this next 12 years, and maybe we'll have it by then. Thank you, Lord. Just let this set into each one of our hearts in the way it needs to be received as you've sent it out, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. Nope, we're not going to sing. We're going to have communion.